now talking, and maybe hold that closer to your mouth. That would be better. Okay, now let's start again.
All right.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me those things you said.
My name is Ruth Evelyn Hulse. My maiden name was Hulse. And my mother's name was Edna, and father was Q.C. Hulse.
Q.C.? What does Q stand for?
Hugh, H-U-G-H.
Hugh.
Hugh. Okay. Hugh C. Hulse. And I won't tell you what the C stands for because he hated his middle name.
Okay.
And I married Jack Coriel, John P. Coriel,
okay.
In September of 1948.
Okay. What was your mother's maiden name?
Scott. She was originally from Hillgard, and the daughter of John Winfield Scott. He was widely known.
Oh. Not any relation to the Scots out in where? No. Mm. Okay.
So, and I have two brothers, Gifford Scott Hulse and Lloyd Kermit Hulse.
Okay, so, and then on your mother's side of the family, and she was a Scot, and so she was from Hillgard. So you have relatives on that side of the family around here?
Yes, I guess I know very little about that family.
Oh.
Mother's mother died when mother was 2 years old.
Oh.
So she didn't have a good background, you know, of knowing her relatives and things.
Uh-huh.
And my grandfather, Scott, died 1924. He saw me and held me,
uh-huh.
And that's
it.
All I know about.
So you are all on the Hulse side,
yeah.
Then, pretty much. That's
yeah.
What you know. Okay, so, and the Hulses came here early.
Oh, in the 1980s sometime, I'd say, by checking history. But I know my grandfather Hulse helped build the railroad.
Oh.
And I see the railroad was completed in 1883.
Oh,
so
the railroad into the Grand Road Valley,
yes,
or to Union?
Yes,
or
all that.
All of it.
Yeah. So he was here before that. In fact, I rather think there were members of the Hulse family through this valley in the 1960s sometime.
1860.
Okay. Yes. I'm a generation off.
Yes.
But I don't have any written proof of that.
Uh-huh. So you grew up right out here under Mount Emily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there and on the Sand Ridge, and I lived on the N.K. West Place for 2 years, I think.
I don't know where that is.
Well, it was a big dairy. I think Davis owns it now. I'm not sure.
Oh, over on the other side of the valley.
No. He lives on the other side, but the place is down there. You've heard of the West Intake.
No.
Well, how could you live in Somerville, not in the West Intake?
Well, I do. What is it?
You're a newcomer.
The West Intake.
Well, there was a big water supply back in there that supplied all that end of the valley with water. And the West owned it, but it was, they called it the West Intake. And N.K. West owned a block in town that was
called Somerville?
He lived, well, it was on Hunter Road, before you get to Pleasant Grove Grange Hall, on the right-hand side.
Okay. Down,
yeah,
kind of?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
A little off the road. And at that time, when we moved there, we were fascinated as children because they had milking machines. We had seen milking by hand, of course, but they had milking machines, and they ran a real dairy. And there were also cement sidewalks where you could roller skate and do that kind of thing. We didn't. No, it wasn't like country. It was like a little city by itself.
And that's what you're talking about down off
the road. Yeah.
Is that house still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I think I know where it is. It's an old farmhouse, but well kept.
Yes, yes. Gray stucco, I think it was at the time we were down.
It's kind of far down there, so you can't really.
It's down the ways off the road. And I used to have to walk up to the road to get the name as a child. And my brother, there was timber behind the it was about where the end road comes out, and there was timber there, and quite thick at that time. And my brother, of course, being 2 years older, he told me that tigers lived in those woods, and I was petrified.
Well, I'm sure you were.
How old
were you?
About 4 and a half. I'd go up to the mailbox. I was scared to death. I wouldn't tell anybody I was scared.
Yeah.
And then I checked very carefully under the bed at night to make sure those tigers were there.
I thought there were tigers under my bed,
too. You can be scared to death as a child.
Yeah.
Particularly if you've got a brother that tells you stories that aren't necessarily true.
No, they're not true. So, now I don't still understand about the west intake. What was it exactly?
It was a big, well, it looked like a swimming pool full of water.
And that was down at their place?
Yeah, only it was up in the woods, above, you go up.
Okay, and it was like a reservoir.
Yes, a big reservoir.
And from a spring?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And people came there to get water, or what?
Yeah, well, they had it piped, apparently, to their houses.
Really?
Must have had.
Like along End Road there?
Yeah.
Oh. Were there very many houses along End Road?
No.
No.
Not at that time. Hens lived up there. And I can't think of anyone else that lived up in there at that time. And now, of course, it's a regular little community.
Yeah, it's a whole. Yeah. It's all filled in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people are in places.
But you were quite a ways. Well, not that far, though. You weren't that far this way from all that.
No, no.
It was right there. I mean, you're just around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
is that where Berryman's lived?
We lived, our ranch was next door to Berryman's for years.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's where Clergett's lived.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Oh.
They both bought them. First, Reed Stewart bought it from Scott's Irrigation in town.
Oh.
And he had a divorce about then and couldn't manage it by himself, he didn't feel, you know, it was too much.
Yeah.
Too much work involved, I think. So he sold it. Is it Clergett's?
Clergett.
Clergett.
Yeah, their daughter, Amy, is my daughter's friend.
Well, that's so interesting because I saw in the paper where there was an Amy
Clergett.
Well, at Embler. And I thought, well, that's the people that bought the ranch.
Uh-huh.
And in Dad's family, he had two sisters. One was named Julia Evelyn, and the other one was named Amy Ruth.
Oh.
So I'm named after the two aunts, of course. But I thought that's interesting. There's an Amy, and not a lot of people use the name
it's
Amy.
It's kind of coming back.
Yeah, it was old-fashioned.
Yeah, and Emily. My daughter's name is Emily, and it's coming back.
And my daughter wanted a little girl so badly that she could name Amanda.
Oh, yeah. But she didn't.
No. She'd had one daughter in the family, but named her Monica.
Oh, that's So you lived there.
We lived there probably, 2 years, I would imagine. Dad was foreman on the West ranches. He had various ranches.
Oh, you lived on the West Ranch?
Yes.
That was part of the West Ranch? Oh, I see.
We lived across the driveway from the West big house. It was a small white house where, well, it was a nice house, but not up to the standards of the West by any means. They had a doorbell and everything. You know, and that was pretty unusual in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
People didn't have that type of thing.
Uh-huh. So I'm confused. You lived up here below Mount Emily, and then you lived down there?
No, I lived... First,
well,
you don't know places. That's the trouble, you know.
Okay.
Don't know. just beyond the Grim Tree Farm, I was born. There was a round red barn there and a place called the Hoyt Place. He was a fireman in town, and he had this place, the ranch he'd bought out here. And he rented to my father and mother, and we lived there as babies and children until I was about 4 and a half when we moved down to the N.K. West Ranch.
Oh, okay.
And then we moved on the Sand Ridge for 7 years on a west place and lived there and farmed, and then moved back on the home place where the Clarkets live.
I see. Okay. So you moved around quite a bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it's small. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
But,
so, where on Sandridge did you live?
Well,
there's a big old farmhouse there.
The farmhouse was burned down. One day my mother called, and she was practically in tears, and I said, "What's wrong, Mom?" And she said, "They're burning down the Woodall place."
Oh, Woodall. That's the name of the road I was trying to think of before.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
Woodall. There's two of them.
Yeah. And we lived, well, Jim Woodall lived near us.
Mm.
He would live. There was a interesting story when I was a child. I probably was 5 or 6 years old, and my brother 2 years older, so we were left alone one afternoon while Mother went in to get groceries. Dad was on the ranch, but he was out farming somewhere. And we were bored with life in general and thought we'd find something interesting to do, so we walked down to the corner in front of Jim Woodall's house and crawled through the culvert. There was a big culvert there at the corner, and of course it had water in it part of the year, but it was dry that month. And so we started to crawl through this big culvert. And in the culvert was a box filled with liquor, bootleg liquor. They apparently we'd run into a drop point where they brought stuff out and put it, and then farmers came and bought it up. It was against the law. You know,
well, how long did Prohibition last?
Till 33, I think.
Oh, so it was right in the heart of Prohibition then. Oh.
So we, being good little children, we knew that wasn't ours, and we didn't bother it, so we went around it and crawled on through the culvert, left it right there, didn't tell our folks, of course, about it. And that we
did you know what it was?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We knew where it was. But the next afternoon or so, my mother was someplace for an hour or gone, and we went down to the shop. And attached to our shop was a room where the hired man had a bunk bed in there and so on. Well, of course, we didn't have that qualm about bothering people's things on our own place. That was ours. So we went in to see what he had in his little bedroom
just
there.
Just checking it out.
Yeah, just looking around.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered this same box of...
It was the same box?
Yeah, same stuff with the stuff still in the bottles. And so we spent the afternoon... I can't remember whether it had caps on it or corks.
Uh-huh.
But we emptied that stuff.
Oh, you did?
In the pig pen, at a trough.
Oh, my God.
When Father got back to the ranch, and Mother, we had a bunch of pigs that were kind of staggering around, and not, you know, they'd have a little too much to drink. And Dad came in just fuming. He said, "What happened? What is this?" We had to confess what we'd found then, and not knowing what it was even, but it didn't smell good to us, and so we emptied it. And the hired man quit, real quick-like. Dad had nobody to help him with milking that night. Lots of fowls to milk, and he had to do it by himself. And Dad brought us in and sat us down on stools and filled a teaspoon with the taste of this. And he said, "I want you to taste this." He said, "Just put your tongue at it and see if you like it." He said, "This is what it tastes like." And of course, it was terrible. What get liquor, the horrible stuff that somebody had concocted in their backyard. So we didn't bother liquor again. We didn't touch it. Boy, that was nasty stuff.
Ever?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
My brother, of course, did, but I didn't.
So that taught you your lesson. Well, you probably cut into that guy's profit.
Well, I probably caused a lot of
heartache.
Well, yeah, people paid money for that stuff, you know, and
yeah,
he bought a whole case of it.
Forward to it.
And I poured it out. We poured it out.
Well, how many bottles was it? Do you remember? Was
I don't
it
remember. It was like a fruit jar box, you know, with the divisions.
Oh, yeah, like 12 bottles.
Yeah, well, it's either bottles or jars, and I don't remember which style. But we certainly got rid of it.
Wow. You and your brother laughed about
and,
that.
And Dad was perturbed because he was afraid his little children had
taken.
Eaten it, drank it, you know.
Boy, well, did the pigs survive okay?
Oh, yeah, they lived what they lived.
Were they really staggering around?
Yeah. Yeah. I had trouble walking. But,
that's
pretty funny. And the hired man quit. Either he quit or my father suggested he quit after he
died. Did he drink?
Dad didn't, no.
No, he didn't. So he didn't like that around at all. You think he fired him?
I don't know as a child whether he fired him or whether the hired man was just so unhappy because they were.
Did hired men, did he stay around a lot or did hired men kind of come and go a lot?
Oh, he'd have them around a couple of years maybe if they were satisfactory and then they found something better to do and moved on. But we had a procession of crews and hang crews and hired men and a lot of people like that around.
Kind of like migrant workers are now.
Yeah.
They come through.
So it was depression years and they were lucky to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So they worked for nothing practically.
Yeah, food.
N.J. West paid them, we didn't.
Uh-huh.
N.J. West also paid my brother and I to trap squirrels, and we'd save the tails to prove to them how many we had got.
For the field. So
yeah, from the field. And I can remember he'd come in and sit on the porch and talk to Dad, and his car door would stand open. He'd have a pocket inside that held all these tails.
Oh, really?
And they'd be sticking up. And he paid us for those tails.
How did you trap them?
Oh, with traps. Like squirrel straps.
You put them out in the field?
Yeah. Then you went the next day and checked them.
Do you remember how much he gave you for them?
Oh, a penny or two.
Oh.
You know, it wasn't big money.
Yeah, but
it looked big to us.
Uh-huh. So, then, did you work for money early?
No.
You didn't do other things.
Yeah.
And your mother was a homemaker?
Yes.
So, and your dad, what did he do on the farm?
Everything.
Everything. Uh-huh. And he was like the foreman? Uh-huh.
For N.J. West. But of course, it was his own. He just ran it his way.
Uh-huh. Up here?
Yeah.
And that's Kurgis' place?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm clear.
And that was Dad's home.
Was there an orchard there when you were there?
Oh, we had an orchard, yes.
Like, you know, down in front. I mean, the Clergets have put in some evergreen trees down in front. Now.
Oh, I'm so glad they have.
But there was orchard there.
No.
And they took it out, I think. Did you have orchard
that
whole
not down? Not down that way. Our orchard was out to the south.
But it wasn't that big.
Oh, no. It was.
Because that was a pretty big orchard. Cherry.
Well, you're thinking of the Flanagan place next door.
That they ripped out the
Yeah,
tree.
They had a cherry orchard.
Oh.
They put in a cherry orchard there while I was in college.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, how long did you live in that place then?
the ranch place where Clearchip lived, I lived there when I moved there when I was 12. And I lived there until I was 24.
Oh, you did. So that was kind of your growing up place.
And of course, I was familiar with it because my grandparents had always lived there, and we were back and forth to their place and stayed all night. And
And so that's the house you showed me in that book. And that's the house the trees fell on. And then they built the house that is there now?
No. Oh. No. My dad built that after the trees fell on the ranch house.
That's what I mean. That house is there now.
Yeah.
He built.
Well, no. Jack and my dad built that.
Oh.
Together. They even made the blocks.
Oh, cement blocks?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
They had a machine that did it.
Yeah, there are cement. So there have been three houses there then that you know of.
There was the home place that my grandparents owned. And on the place was a small house. We called it the little house.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Granddad had the heart attack, he and Grandma moved out of the big house, and we moved over and took over the operation of the ranch and moved into the big house. And they moved into this little house, which had been moved up out of the field where it was set for years.
Oh, yeah.
And was closer than to our place. And they finished out their life there.
Mm-hmm.
But
And then, so you went to school in?
Well, I went to school at the Lone Star School. Now,
I don't know where you
are. No, nobody apparently does, because I called, I asked Gary Webster. Do you know Gary?
Yes, I do.
Well, I asked Gary after I'd seen his dad's obituary. I said, "Gary, your dad went to Lone Star, I see by the obituary." I said, "Do you know when the Lone Star School was built?" He said, "I haven't the vaguest notion." He said, "Why don't you call Dorothea Vores in town? She would know. She's written a book of rural schools here in the valley." So I said, "Is Dorothy still alert and all?" And she said, "Oh, yes." So I phoned her one day and asked about the Lone Star School, what she knew about. She said, "I've never heard of it." I said, "Oh, hey, you have to." I said, "I went to school there for a number of years, and I know of people who..." Jim Woodle's daughter, Pauline Howard, went to school there. Claude Woodle and all of the neighborhood went to school there. And she said, "Well, I've just never heard of it."
Where was it?
Well, you know where Jim Woodle's place is, there on the corner of Woodle Lane. Woodland, is it what comes in there, Webster?
I don't know.
I don't know what they call that road that goes along. That's the road we lived on. And just you turned at Jim Woodle's corner and then went south, and there was our place on the right. And
now I'm really confused.
And it's so hard because the places are gone now.
Yeah.
You know, the houses aren't standing there. So you can't point to them and say, "That was it."
Well, we should go for a drive.
Yes, yeah. Judy Seidel, I don't know if you know her, Mrs. Judy Seidel. There's a neighbor here. And so one afternoon she said, "Good, I'm homeschooling my kids. And this afternoon our project is an art project, and we're going out to see the pottery place."
Dave Wong's
pottery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
"And would you like to go?" So I said, "Sure, I'd like to ride along. I've never seen it. I didn't know where it is. I had never seen it." She says, "You know where it is?" I said, "Yep, I know where it is." So we'd drive along, and she'd be telling me about her friend who lived here,
uh-huh,
and so on. And they lived here for 2 years, and she married to so-and-so. And I said, "No, this is the old Baker place.
Uh-huh.
This is such and such place." And she finally, she stopped the car and she said, "Do you know everybody?" I said, "Yeah, I think so." in the valley, I probably know everybody. She said, well, I can't even tell you an interesting story about any of these places because you know a bigger, better story about it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's the trouble.
So how did you know where Walls lived?
Well, my son lived out there on a random place near, just down below Walls' studio.
Oh.
A big place that they lived there for a year, year and a half.
Oh, one of those ranch houses.
Yeah, one of those
there.
Big places.
Yeah, great big.
It was a big
skylight
place. Had a fireplace, and it was a beautiful place. But and so of course we drove out there often, so on.
So that's
funny. And I was raised out in the Pleasant Grove territory too, you know, where I knew places.
Right.
Then I did casework here in the valley for the welfare office.
Oh, you
had
did.
The Somerville territory, which I.
Okay, let's not go into that. Let's go chronologically.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Because otherwise, when I try, or when
we're
somebody
too
tries
far ahead,
to edit it,
getting the horse
then it
ahead,
goes bing, bing, bing all over, and it's too hard to do. So then you went to school at Lone Star School, wherever that is. We'll go for a drive.
I'll show you about where it was.
Okay, and then you went where?
Then, when I was in the sixth grade was the last year I went to Lone Star. And my family, our three children that were in the Hulse family, were the members of the school, and one other girl, the Griner.
Oh, I know where the Griner is.
Yeah, well, she was in the school too that year. And so the next year they questioned what was even to happen.
You mean there were only four kids in the school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So not
the three Hulse kids and
one more.
And Ed.
Okay.
So my brother was ready to go into high school, and if he went to LeGrand, he had to pay tuition.
Oh.
And if he went to Embler, they didn't have decent facilities out there, and Dad didn't feel they were getting the education they needed to be giving kids, and he kind of wanted us to go to LeGrand, but the tuition problem bothered us. So we moved to town.
Oh.
Mother and we three kids moved to town during the school year and rented the house and lived and went to school. And that way Gifford didn't have to pay tuition because we were rest at Silver Grand. And then, of course, we went home every weekend to the ranch.
Uh-huh.
And
so you did that for like 6 years?
Long time, and it was fun.
Uh-huh.
That way we got to go to some grand schools, and they eventually wiped Lone Star out completely. There weren't any kids left after the Hulse family,
right?
Except Ed, and she went to Embler, I guess.
Okay, so. You mentioned a Howard.
Yes, Pauline.
Was that Carolyn? No,
no,
that wouldn't have been.
No, that. She was a daughter of Jim Woodall's. And in her 80s or 90s, when I called her, I had known her at Grange things and seen her, and she knew who I was when I was one of the Hulse kids. Mm-hmm. And I called her, too, to ask her about Lone Star, if she knew when it was built, because I knew she had gone to school there. And she said, I can't tell you. I don't know when it was built. Well,
so it must have been just right down there somewhere.
It was... Oh, gosh. Do you know where the web...
No, this...
Do
down
you
know, this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way over.
Yeah.
Because I would have...
Well, that's interesting that the lady who wrote about one-room schoolhouses didn't know about it.
Yeah. I thought so, too, because she's a very meticulous writer and, and researches things carefully, but somehow she missed that school entirely.
Huh. Huh.
And of course, there's hardly anyone left alive to give her any information.
Was it just a real simple square building?
Yeah, just a little country schoolhouse.
Uh-huh. And you had one teacher, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She taught all eighth grade. Oh, yeah, I remember all their names.
What were their names?
Well, in first grade, I had Jeanette Hanford.
Okay.
Jeanette Hanford. Second year, second and third year I took together, I had a Miss Bearden, Vivian Bearden.
Wow.
Third year, I was in fourth grade then, was Blanche Billings from Embley. And then we had, oh, wonderful thing, we had a man teacher.
Oh, he
was handsome. Oh, we thought he was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Well, really. His name was Waldo Girard.
Waldo. R-O-L-L-O.
Girard, okay. G-E-R-A-R-D.
Okay.
And where
is he from?
I don't know. I think he came from up in Washington, although I'm not sure. He had a brother in town that ran Girard's Jewelry for years.
Oh.
And he came here and lived with
that
them.
That was his connection.
Yeah. That's how come he took a job here, obviously.
Yeah.
And so he did that.
So you sent him to her already.
Yeah. But she hasn't written the book yet.
Yeah, well, it's
she may give out on that.
That's
before
pretty.
And it's hard when there's so many dead people around, too.
Well, yeah, there's
can't
that,
tell.
But it's hard to collect all that
and get it
in order.
And get it accurate.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I wonder how old that school was.
Well, I mentioned to Donna that I'd called Mrs. Wallace. And she said, oh, I can tell you when it was built. It was built in 1888.
Yeah,
I keep saying
well,
that.
Well, so it was like 30 years old when you were there then. Uh-huh.
And I tried to burn it down one day.
Oh, let's hear about that.
Well, we, of course, were having a big Christmas party, which was a community thing. Everybody came to it and all crowded into the little place to watch.
But now there were more than four kids there.
Oh, yes.
How many kids do you think there were?
Oh, I don't know, 8 or 10 probably.
Okay.
And so it was quite a celebration.
Yeah.
We decorated the room and had the tree up and all that. And I was to be an angel in this Christmas scene.
And you were like?
Oh, I had gauze wings that were just lovely.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had tinsel around the edge, and not tinsel, but shiny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I was standing in this scene.
Was it the Christmas story?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the cradle and all that, and I was the angel standing back behind. And all of a sudden I looked, and the whole room was coming toward me. Men were all running up.
And you were little. How little were you?
I was in the first grade. I was six.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know they were coming to get me, but they obviously were coming right at the stage.
Uh-huh.
And some child with somebody else that was in the scene had a lit candle.
Oh, and it lit and your gauze wings.
Had edged in behind me, and my gauze wings were on fire.
Oh,
my father saw the smoke, and he and two or three other men got up out of the crowd and all rushed to the stage and pounded out the fire. Well, I burned. I felt terrible because my beautiful costume had been ruined.
Uh-huh.
And I was a singed angel from then.
Do you remember that happening, or is it just a family
story? No,
no,
I
remember
it happening.
And you were scared. I bet you were crying and stuff.
Well, I didn't cry over much of anything, no.
Oh, you didn't? Mm-hmm. Oh, you were tough?
Yeah.
You were kind of tough.
I had an
Were you a little girl for your age, or regular?
No, I was tall.
You were tall. Hmm.
I was a tall kid. And I noticed in this picture I sent to Donna Patterson of the Lone Star School, when I was in the first grade. And there I am in my little dress and looking like a cherub with red hair. And on my feet are boy's shoes.
Oh.
They stuck over my ankles, and I thought, oh, that's the day. And it was Depression years, and I'd wear my shoes to school and said I was so bored. I'd finish my work and work anymore, and I would sit there and scoot my feet in and out and in and out and in and out to look. They'd be broken down at the back.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
The folks bought me shoes. And finally, my mother said, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to let you wear one of the boys' shoes to school one day.
That
was the day she picked.
Oh.
To put me.
And they came up to your ankle?
Oh, up like boys' boots,
Oh my gosh, how?
And there I am in my clubby shoes, smiling happily.
Did you only have to wear them one day?
Yeah, one day, and that was the day. That was the day they took the school picture. Yep.
Oh.
And only I know why I'm dressed that way.
Yeah.
And I quit doing it.
I bet you did. Yeah.
I stopped doing this, breaking them down at the back bit.
Yeah, I remember my mother scolding me about breaking down the back of your shoes.
They didn't have that much money. You just didn't have a lot of money in your pocket to run to town to buy another pair of shoes or a...
Right. It was like everything was
whatever.
Important. Yeah. Mm. So did you... You always had enough to eat
stuff. Eating was never a problem.
Did you have chickens in the garden and all that?
Dad and I didn't like chicken.
You didn't like chicken?
Mm.
Oh.
My father didn't like chicken, and so I didn't.
Oh, you were his little princess.
No, his little toffee.
Oh, yeah. So...
My father had a cleft chin. He was a handsome fellow. I would go to sleep at night and dig in my...
You wanted to be like
him. I did my best to dig a hole
didn't
in my
work,
chin.
Did
I
it?
Thought I'd suddenly develop this cleft chin.
That's
yeah.
like handsome men have that
yeah,
square
yeah.
and then it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it never worked. I'd go to Ladies Aid Society meetings with my mother, and the ladies would ooh and ah over my red hair. And
you had really carrot red hair or
no,
auburn red
no,
hair?
No, it was dark red.
Dark red. Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, you just look just like your mother. And I'd come home and cry. Must have made my mother really feel good,
Do you love your mother?
Oh, I loved her intensely, but I wanted to look like my father.
Uh-huh. Did she have red hair?
No. Hers is dark.
Well, did he have red hair?
No.
Oh, it just came.
Came back.
Well, red hair sometimes does skip generations.
Yeah, there was red hair back in the family somewhere.
Uh-huh. Little girls kind of do have it like their dad.
Well, yeah,
Yeah, they do.
And I thought, I don't look like him. I don't want to look like my mother. Of course, I look at a face that looks just like hers.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things mean so much, and you don't even really know.
And they stick with you, too.
Yeah, right.
But I think how terrible it must have made her feel, because I'd cry every time.
And she knew you were crying about that?
Yeah.
Oh.
She knew what I was crying about.
Oh. Well, girls hurt their mother's feelings. That's one of the things they do.
Goodness, don't they do it well?
Oh, they do. My daughter's about to drive me crazy.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
My son said one day that he would like to move home. He thought he'd like to move home. I could cook his meals and wash his clothes. And I said, over my dead body.
Uh-huh.
And he said, wouldn't you like to do it again? And I said, yes, all the years except adolescence.
Yeah.
Those years I don't want to even think about. So all three of you were adolescents at the same time.
And two girls and a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had No, two boys and a girl.
Two boys and a girl.
Yeah, I had Todd was two, and the twins were.
Oh, you had away. Twins.
Yeah, and they were twins. So that made me three children under the age of two.
Oh my gosh.
And I was frantic for a few years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, okay, let's go back to you lived in that house till you were 24. So you went to LeGrand School.
Yeah.
Matriculated there, and then you went to Eastern?
Yeah. Well, I went 2 years up here. And then I transferred to University of Oregon.
Oh, you did?
And graduated down there.
And what did you graduate in?
Well, I graduated in sociology. I had started out in journalism.
Oh.
And I took it. The first year I went down to Eugene and didn't like my roommates who were all journalism majors. And we ate, talked, slept. We did journalism all the time until I thought, I've got to get out of this. I can't stand it.
Why didn't you like it?
Well, just, mainly I didn't like the girls.
Oh.
They were, they were prop your feet up on the desk, cigarette smoking crowd. Really a tough gang.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to be hard-nosed. And
streetwise.
Oh, kind of.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out of there and came home. Well, my mother wasn't too delighted to see me. I had spent the family savings and so on going down to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you'll have to go back. You'll have to go back. And I said, I can't. I've dropped. I went in and talked to the dean and told her you were ill and I needed to be at home and walked out. And I've been dropped from the registers. And it's too late to get back in this year. And she said, well, in that case, you better find a job.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought I was so sophisticated and accomplished, I could just walk down Adams Avenue and they'd be delighted to see me coming.
Uh-huh.
Well, they weren't that delighted. Believe me, I knocked on an awful lot of doors. And finally, my uncle, Dr. Gilstrap, a physician in town, called me and said, Ruth, I hear you're looking for a job. And I said, yeah, have you got one? And he said, I need a receptionist.
Oh.
And I said, okay, what time do I go to work?
That was lucky.
Yeah, it was.
Now, who is he? Uncle of how?
Oh, he married Julia Hull's dad's sister.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you were, you hadn't graduated from college yet?
No.
Okay.
I had 2 years in and part of another term that I wasted.
Oh, and you, the first year you went down there, you came back without doing it. Okay.
Without telling anyone I was coming.
Mm-hmm. And so, how did you get home? On the bus?
On the train.
Train, okay.
Wartime travel on trains is no fun. You usually stood up.
Did you stand up?
Oh, part of the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There were a lot of soldiers. And
oh, yeah, it was a mess. Travel wasn't easy.
Yeah.
So
you did that, and then how long were you a receptionist?
Oh, I've only worked in there, 6 months or something, until Uncle Clarence had to go to Mayo Clinic to have a kidney thing checked. And in the meantime, I found other work and was taking courses up at the college. But I didn't go back to the receptionist job.
Did you go back to Eugene to go to school?
Yeah.
Finished here?
Yeah,
oh, you
I
did.
Went back to Eugene. Graduated down there.
And then you came back here.
Oh. And intending only to just rest up from my hard college work.
Yes, I
and,
understand.
And, you know, take an easy life.
Just a little break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make chocolate cake and enjoy myself. Eat late breakfasts and read and do these things that summer. My mother and a journalist here in town met me at the bus and said, we've got a job for you.
Oh.
They want you at the welfare office to apply.
Oh, really?
They want you to apply. They need a caseworker. I didn't intend to go into casework at all, but I had the job and I went to work.
And then you did that for how long?
Oh, till 1949.
So that would have been what?
Well,
about
a year after we were married. And
10 years or so? No, not that long.
No.
5 years.
No, about three.
Three,
maybe three and a half.
And you got married in 48?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I worked in 49.
So what kind of work did you do?
Casework. You went out on cases.
So you went out here?
Yeah.
All over the valley?
All over. Elgin. I went clear. At the time I started work there, there were two caseworkers, myself and a woman named Genevieve Nelson. And we divided the valley. The railroad was the division line.
Oh, yeah.
And I had everything north of the tracks to the county line.
Oh. So was there lots of cases?
Yep. A lot of them.
Were there?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Mostly poor people, huh?
Uh-huh.
Or unwed mothers with
yeah,
children?
Yeah, unwed mothers, whatever you got. They say they don't have any problems in the Grand. It is not true. I have seen the problems.
You mean with moms and babies?
Oh, yes. Anything. We did adoptions. We did all that.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So I worked there a couple of years, and they added a man, mm-hmm. caseworker, which took the pressure off some.
So were you overworked? Or was it about right?
No, it was okay.
Uh-huh.
It was all right. Because we didn't have to switch cases around occasionally because Genevieve was from this locale too, you know.
Oh, and she'd know people.
Yeah,
she knew
people and I knew people. And once in a while you'd bump into your mother's best friend who was applying for help and you didn't want to handle the case.
So if this was like 1946 to 1949, so was there like a welfare program set up for mothers, dependent children?
Oh, yeah.
It was just that?
It's the same as they have now, except they call it something different now.
They call it, what do they call it? I forgot. Children... I forget.
I saw a paper the other day and thought, well, the same thing. It's the.
But they didn't have food stamps.
No. Well, they did for a while have food stamps because I had a fellow call me from the grocery where he worked. I knew him. And he said, Ruth, what on earth are you giving this woman food stamps for? Because she comes in here and buys an order of dates and food that even I can't afford to buy,
mm-hmm.
you know, fancy stuff. And I said, gee, we don't have any way of, it's a government program, it's given out, and if they are eligible for it, you give them the stamps and they can spend them for what they want. If they want to spend it on bottles of liquor, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it was basic. Well, I wonder when. That probably all started during the Depression then.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's what...
Probably not before.
Well, that's partly why I switched from journalism to sociology. I had to find something where I could use the credits I had already built up
mm-hmm.
at school and to finish up in.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go into English necessarily and be an English teacher. And I thought, there are poor people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
There'll always be poor people in this world
right.
that need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get something in that area. So I worked on sociology
mm-hmm.
and could use my credits that I had
right.
without losing a lot of credits.
Yeah.
And that's how we worked it out.
So did you enjoy that work?
I loved it.
Did
yeah.
you? Did
every
you
day
do it
was,
after you could?
Every day was different.
I bet it was. Yeah.
You never knew what was going to happen. went to work, it was...
And most of the time you were out in the field, or did you stay in the office
a lot? Oh, you were in the office maybe part of the day, or something like that. But in, usually you were out with a state car going here, there, and every place.
So it was interesting work.
It was fun.
So then you had kids, so you quit work.
I had Todd. And then two days short of 2 years, I had the twins.
And
I wasn't home for
a girl and a boy.
A girl and a boy.
And what were their names?
Scott and Stephanie.
And they were identical twins? No.
No, no. Boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl.
Different.
Yeah.
Quite different. Red-haired girl and dark-haired boy.
Oh, so they were just fraternal twins then. So you were busy.
Oh.
And you lived, now where'd you live then?
Well, but then I lived in town, of course.
Oh.
We had bought a house down on 11th Street when I was in college, partly because we were about to be evicted. We had it rented, and it was about to be sold out from under us because everyone was looking for places during wartime.
Oh, it was short of
housing. There was a fellow from Embler there having lunch with my dad. They'd come into town to do something together, and they go to some committee meeting, and they were having lunch at the house. And these people came to look at the house while we were eating. And before we knew it, we had bought the house.
Oh.
We bought this little house that we
You
lived.
And your husband?
Yeah. No, my dad and Tom Ruckman from Embler bought those two houses. Tom paid the payments on the one he bought, and we lived in the other one and paid the payments on it.
Oh.
So we had a house in town as well as a ranch there.
Oh, so you had a country
so
house
college was easy because we had the house there anyway. I just lived there.
Uh-huh.
No rent. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I came back from college, I lived there the same way. I worked, I made the money, I spent the money.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay the folks any board and room or anything. It was nice.
So, now I got confused again, but that's not where you and Jack lived.
Well, to begin with, yes.
You did live there.
When we were first married, we lived there until... the twins were probably 6 months old. And we had moved our big bed out into the living room and given the bedroom to the three children.
Right.
Our bedroom was tiny. And Jack came home one afternoon and he said, I bought a house.
Oh.
So he bought a house up on Oak Street, about a block from Central School. And I was delighted, of course.
Well, you probably knew then. Do you know who Marcia Smith is?
Oh, certainly. I went to school with Marcia in the
seventh.
When I was in the seventh grade, Marcia was in the sixth grade at Aquilon.
Well, she wasn't a Smith.
No, she was a Miller.
Okay.
Her name was Miller.
So that's who's doing the oral history is Eugene Smith, her husband, is the head of the oral history
project.
Oh, is
he really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
so you lived close to them.
Next door.
Because they live there now and they redid
and
that
we
house.
Were the little house next to them.
But it's big now.
Oh, yeah. She's extended a room down, a whole addition down the creek.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. My son came home one day when he was in the primary grades. And he was simply beaming as he came through the door. He had an armload of daffodils, like this.
Oh, yeah.
Pit daffodils.
Uh-huh.
I said, Scott, where did you get those?
Yeah.
He was so thrilled, he brought mother flowers. And he was always doing things like that. And he said, I got them out of Florence's backyard. She had a hole. That hole at where Marcia's built the addition was a daisy and snapdragon and daffodils and
everything.
Just whatever would bloom, bloomed. And there'd been an acre of daffodils out there she was waiting to get out to pick. Scott had them. I had them. I said, you know what we've got to do? We've got to go next door and talk to Florence. That was Marcia's mother. So Scott went, and Florence was lovely about it.
Yeah.
Hoped I enjoyed them, and don't do that again, Scott.
Yeah, I know that story. My daughter used to do that too. Pick flowers for me from people's yards on the way home from school.
And you were always full of horribly apologizing. It was always so Scott that I was towing to people's door and saying, "Now apologize for what you did."
So I need to know about, I think my tape's going to run out here pretty soon, but, so did you go out to Ruckel Road to meet your in-laws before you got married? I mean, how'd you know about, tell me about that place.
Well, I was a little startled when I saw it the first time. Do you still live in the same house?
No, it burned down.
Oh, thank heavens.
Well, it burned down. Way long ago.
It was almost primitive.
Oh.
It was so little.
It was little.
I was totally startled.
Oh.
That the place was so backwoodsy, you know. But Jack's dad had reached the point where he gave up his business there in Nebraska, and he traded. I don't know, he had some stocks or something, and the fellow couldn't pay what he owed him, and he paid him off in this piece of property out here in Oregon, wooded property. Well, Jack's dad drove clear out here to see it.
And what was Jack's dad's name?
Jim, James.
James Correa, okay.
Yeah. And so they built that little place.
It was just a little?
Oh, it was tiny.
And how many kids?
Well, all that were at home then was one child. Jack had one brother that was 18 years younger than he was.
Oh.
Jack was 20 and in the service when
this
child was born.
So Jack went to the First World War?
Second.
He went to the Second World. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, he was in Africa and Germany and France and Italy and all those places.
And then while he was gone, he had a little brother at home.
Yeah.
And you met him after he came home from
the war. Yes, I didn't know him until I
moved. How'd you meet him?
Well, the secretary at the office, bookkeeper, Agnes Winburn, said, you know, I know a fellow. He's back from the service, and I think he'd like to meet you. And why don't you come to dinner so we meet?
Uh-huh.
Well, a blind date was the last thing I was going on.
Uh-huh.
And even when her husband came to pick me up, to take me down to their house.
This was down. When you were the receptionist?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was a caseworker.
Oh, you were a caseworker. Okay.
And I said, I'm not going.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going, I decided. And he said, you have to go. Agnes has the dinner ready.
Uh-huh.
She's expecting you. So I said, oh, all right. So I went and I met him that evening. And
did you hit it off right away?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
3 months later, I was engaged. And,
oh, really?
And
oh.
We were married in
so
September.
So how old were you, 20?
I was 24.
24. Yeah.
My mother thought I was old maid,
uh-huh.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
She thought there was no hope at all.
So you went out to visit his parents before you got married?
Oh, yes.
And you were kind of surprised because
they
were poor?
Well, everybody was poor.
Yeah, but they were more poor?
More poor than they were rich, certainly.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how poor they were, but
what was,
he enjoyed living backwoodsy like.
He liked that.
Oh yeah, he liked having a back house out there.
Did he have that? Was there a barn there then?
Just a little shed for a cow, I think.
there's an old, we still have an old barn, and I think it might be
It probably would be. It would be, because there's nobody lived there in between.
Well, yeah, people have, not to build a barn. It's old.
It probably is the original.
And it was falling down, and my husband fixed it.
But it was a long way out there.
Well, would you like to come out and visit sometime?
Well, yeah, sometime. Well, I'll tell you, when Jack's nephew comes next, they want to come out to the quarry.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they came last summer. He's the, his surveyor, engineer. He's a city engineer for the town of Tacoma.
Oh.
And
he remembers that place as a
child? Yeah, he'd been there as a child. And he was, Coryell, was born to one of Jack's brothers. And then there was a divorce after the war. And the wife remarried, and these boys were adopted.
Oh, so they have a
and have a different name. Their name is Shaw now.
So Jack's dad's brother also came out when he came out?
Well, Jack's one brother had married and lived down on the coast. I don't know, Coos Bay or one of those seaside places. And Jack went down there and worked for a year in a sawmill and then came back and was drafted. He was one of the first three out of Union County to be drafted.
Oh, really?
In World War II.
Yeah.
And went in. And of course, the war hadn't started at the time he was.
Oh, yeah.
But he went in and stayed for 5 years.
Did he tell you war stories?
About where they were and what they did, but they weren't in the rough fighting.
Oh.
They were bombed a few times and things like that in Africa, but they didn't do any armed combat.
Well, I find that men who were in the Second World War don't talk about it very much.
No, my dad didn't talk about the First World War at all.
The First World War was bad. I mean, it was ugly. Well, but I didn't get how the brother then came here just to visit?
Yeah, just to visit. He was married.
And he had little kids.
They were older than Jack, his brothers, except this younger one that was 18 years younger.
And what's his name?
His name was David, and he died of cancer here when he was 32.
Oh.
And our own son died at 37, his twin.
Oh, really?
At 37, had a heart attack. And we didn't know he had heart trouble at all.
Whoa.